This is the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I am your host. I'm also a father of five, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization. And Dave Buhner, also in studio with me today. He's also a homeschool father, lives about 20 miles south of here, and shows up a couple times a week to interact with what's going on in our world around us. We are seeing the breakdown of faith and family and freedom, and that means the breakdown of civilizations. That's the way we take it. Now, I know the liberals say you can break down faith, you can break down character, you can break down family, you can break down everything, and everything will be just fine in the year 2060. I just don't agree with that. Okay, we beg to differ on that one. Well, Dave, here is an interesting example of the social shift, the breakdown of the faith, the breakdown of churches. Here's how the church comes to a screeching halt in the 21st century. And it's just a piece I pulled out of World Magazine a couple of days ago. This is Houses of God. They do their Houses of God thing where they take pictures of Houses of God. But this one is just being abandoned. And some of the churches are just abandoned churches. This one is being abandoned. It's a First Christian Reformed Church in Muskegon, Michigan. And it's their final worship service. So I guess that's it, Dave. I guess they're done. So it's over. It's over for the church. Their final worship service took place on September 15th, 2013. And I guess they're all going to heaven. Now, the reason why, according to this short segment underneath the picture, the reason why this is their last worship service, first organized in 1867.
1867.
You got a church that's been around for about 150 years, going out of business because of a lack of young people and financial issues. The church building's for sale. Perhaps the Muslims can pick it up. They're having kids.
Well, if it's like in Europe, they can turn it into a disco or a climbing gym.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I should go for it. Muslims are having lots of kids. They have faith to have kids. And they have faith to carry their faith on to the next generation. The generational severance ultimately is the apostasy of the present day. And Dave, if you look at all the people in this final worship service at the First Christian Reformed Church, you see one kid. I see one kid.
He's the one.
Yep. So one out of, and there's a fair number of people. I mean, looking at about 150 people, looks like. Oh, maybe 90. Anyway, so out of 90 people, you got a kid. And Dave, you know, this is a sign of the breakdown of civilization. This is what happens when the women have no more children and the men lose reason and faith. Okay? Now, people will come back and say, we still believe in stuff. We still say that we believe. We still say the Apostles' Creed occasion. Well, as James says, show me your kids, show me your works, and I'll show you your faith. So, yeah, whatever. So, friends, the dying of the faith in the Western world, it's obvious. It's obvious all around us. You walk into a church and there's one kid out of 90. Dave, I mean, we're thankful that the birth rate in our church is 5.0 plus. I don't know. Yours is probably similar. Have you ever figured it out?
Haven't tried to figure it out. Don't want it to be a source of pride.
No, we
do have several families in the double digits.
Yep. And Dave, I mean, to me, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And we thank the Lord and we pray for his mercy all the time, because if he should show mercy to us and there be something of a church still around in 2060, around Castle Rock or Monument down where you're at, if God shows mercy and there are still something left of the old churches in Colorado or in Muskegon, Michigan in the year 2050, 2060, it's because there's some faith left. You walk into a church or a community and you find that the birth rate is 0.4. People are into debt up to their eyebrows. Women are leading and the boys are turning into homosexuals. That, my friends, is the definition of being cursed. The Bible defines it. Hey, check it out. Isaiah 3, Deuteronomy 27 and 28, the debtor is servant to the lender. I mean, you find the lists of all of the issues of the curses of God that come upon a nation as defined by biblical law. And you're going to find that these communities are cursed. Now, they'll think that they're blessed. Oh, we're just so blessed. We're living high off the hog. We're living in debt. We're spending our great-grandkids into debt. We don't have any great-grandkids, so that's helping. And, you know, our kids are turning into homosexuals, and the women are leading, and the women are having no
more children, and the men lose reason and faith, and 70-80% of our boys are playing video games while Rome burns, up from 30% in 1970. And they say, hey, we're just the most blessed people on planet Earth. Turns out you're not.
No.
You're not.
It's actually kind of fun as you jump off the building. The 99th floor is great. 98th floor is good. 97th floor,
so far so good.
Great.
So far so good.
Around about the 10th floor or so, you might start to worry a little bit because, you know, maybe this trip has an end. Kevin, it takes a lot of faith, as you know. It takes a lot of faith to raise kids, to raise Christians. Mm-hmm. You have to believe that God is faithful. That's the first thing. You have to believe that God is faithful, that the promise was to you and to your children. You could worry about, oh, my kids are going to leave the faith. I don't want to bring them into this world. What world do you want to bring them into? Because you want to bring them in the next world, you got to bring them in this world. You know, Martin Luther said, even if I knew tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. Mm-hmm. And I think Christians have to have that same idea. Even if Christ comes, if I knew Christ was coming in February, I would still want to have the children. I'd still spend time discipling my children. I'd still want to see churches in this land. I'd still want to see the kingdom grow right to the day that Jesus comes back on that cloud.
Dave, I happened to be visiting a Christian Reformed church, another Christian Reformed church, in the Denver metro area a couple of years ago. And Dave, they had a bulletin board with all the church families on it, but there were two churches meeting in the building. Dave, it sort of looked like this.
Oh,
okay. I drew it out for Dave so Dave can see.
For those of you who can't see, it's a rectangle broken in half.
Broken in half, exactly. That's basically what I saw in this Christian Reformed church. And Dave, the first set of pictures were all the families in the old white Anglo-Saxon Protestant-y whatever.
Okay.
And there were like maybe two or three kids in that congregation.
Two or three.
In the afternoon, there was a Korean church that was meeting there. And they're mostly young families, and there had to have been 40 beaming, smiling little children. You know, just the life that was just flowing out of this other little congregation was such a contrast with the other. I sat there and watched and looked at this bulletin board for it had to have been 5 or 10 minutes, Dave. I mean, I just sat there and watched it. I just thought this is one of the most amazing illustrations of what God the Holy Spirit is doing as he's shifting the blessing from the old European thing to, a pretty healthy international church. And so there's something good happening. I'm admitting to that. But I think there ought to be some repentance, don't you think? I mean, don't you think that maybe repentance on the part, maybe some humility on the part of some of these old line denominations, maybe just a little bit of repentance, maybe coming back and saying, maybe we've been really self-centered, existentialistic, materialistic pigs, and maybe we have not really discipled our children as we ought to. Maybe we have taken up something of the wrong worldview, and maybe that has contributed to the demise of the faith in the 21st century. I mean, honestly, I think there ought to be something of a crying out to God for mercy, at the very least. An abject, on-your-face humility before God. I know you've got all the buildings. I know you've got all of the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of old capital from the old Christian world. I know all that. But don't you think that it's all dying out and maybe it's time for you to humble yourself before Almighty God and plead for his mercy? That's the thing I keep thinking, Dave.
You do?
Mm-hmm. I keep thinking that.
I think they ought to stop worshiping St. Malthus. And,
that would help.
They ought to probably start listening to St. Matthew instead of St. Malthus.
Good.
You know, because when we were raised, when I was in the public schools, you know, they're telling us about how we're using up all the world's resources, how an environmental catastrophe was around the corner, how we had already filled the earth, we had already populated to its full. And then one day I left the East Coast, and you know what I discovered? I discovered the Midwest. And I discovered the West. I wasn't the first to discover it, but it was a personal discovery. And as we were coming across Eastern Colorado, you know what I didn't see? People.
Yeah. There's room for more.
I didn't see
there's
people.
There's lots and lots of room for more.
I saw way more cows than I saw people.
Yep. The idea that somehow we are overpopulated. The world is overpopulated. Hey, listen, folks. Japan, Taiwan, Hong Kong. What is their density? Like 100,000 people per acre or whatever it is. Dave, they're actually some of the most wealthy places on planet Earth. And some of these sub-Sahara African nations aren't all that rich, and they aren't all that well-populated either. So it is possible, friends, for people to do very, very well in the land that God has given. And our objective is to go out and fill the earth. God has given us this directive from the beginning. And if we're going to take the advice of those who say, hey, just eat, drink, and be merry and don't have any kids, live your own self-centered, existentialistic, materialistic lifestyle in a world where you have twice the square footage in terms of housing that you had in 1900 and half the kids, meaning you like drywall way, way, way more than these pesky little kids that eat so much and kind of bust your style a little bit. Friends, that's an indication of what's happened to the values of the average American. We like drywall more than kids. That should be the message that comes home hard and fast on anybody. Now, we're not saying that every single person needs to have 2.4 kids. We're not saying that. Besides, it's hard to have 0.4 kids. Well, what we're saying is that you need to have the children that God gives to you, and you ought not to be materialistic and faithless such that you wouldn't receive the gifts of God and populate his kingdom.
How about this? I'm saying you ought to desire children if you're married.
There you go.
And you ought to be joyful for every single one of them and receive them with faith. And, you know, when your quiver is full is when God says it's full. Not before then.
Okay, friends, it is a burned out existentialistic world. That's what it is. Hey, you know, we're going to have, what, one third the worker to retiree ratio in 20 years from now as it was in 1950. And that's largely because of the birth implosions that are happening in the Western world. And it's not going to really bring forth good fruit socially or economically. And so what we're saying is, hey, we can do things differently. We don't have to play by what the world does. We can establish our own world and life view, and we can have happy little families and happy church communities, and we can have very, very fruitful gardens in the ashes of a burned out existentialistic world. That's the vision that I'm trying to convey on this radio program. And in just a moment, you need to know what's going on with the United States budget. You know, we just racked up another $1 trillion of debt in the last 6 weeks. Be back in just a moment. Generations Broadcast, Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And Dave, this is incredible. This is a news article just came out this morning. Apparently, the Treasury was forced to issue a $1 trillion in new debt in the first 6 weeks of fiscal year 14, which began, I believe, on October 1st of 2013. Starts
probably like right after we lifted the debt ceiling.
What? It's exactly. They tossed in another $1 trillion of debt in the last 6 weeks.
And what did that buy?
I don't know. Okay. I bought us a website.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a website out of it.
That was like half a
And
trillion.
I think there's been like 5,000 people on that website since then, huh?
Yeah, that's like what, $5 million or $50 million
I'm getting
person?
More hits than they are.
Whoa. Ooh, more popular than
hurt.
Obamacare.
That's
our new slogan.
Yeah.
Generations with Vision, more popular than Obamacare.
Yeah. Okay. $1 trillion, Dave. Who's going to pay for that?
Well, that one kid in the church.
The kid in the picture.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, that kid can take care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's the solution. Okay, we got a kid here. One kid in the Christian Reformed Church in Muskegon, Michigan. He'll take care of that $1 trillion. Yeah, there you go. We got the solution right there.
If you like your debt, you can keep your debt.
You're thinking, Dave. I like that. Okay, friends, America's in big trouble. The Treasury has issued $1,014,215,000,000 in new bills, notes, bonds, and other securities in 6 weeks. That's a lot.
That's like a record, isn't it?
That's a lot. I think that's a record, yeah. That's a record. That comes out to $8 trillion per year. You know, if that be the case, the national debt will double every 2 years.
Every 2 years?
Yeah, at this point. Yeah, this is called exponential. That's called an exponential increase in debt. So, I don't know. That just doesn't sound like, that doesn't sound healthy to me.
How do you do that? How do you spend that much money? What do you get for that money?
Where do you get the money? I guess they just print it, right?
Where are the streets that are paved in gold? I would like to see those streets that they're paving with gold, all that money.
Well, so far, friends, this is according to a table I picked off of Wikipedia, so who knows if it's true or not. But right now, America is the 11th worst nation in the world, economically speaking. In terms of its debt to GDP level. So if you take all the national debt divided by the gross domestic product, you're going to get America at roughly 106%. So America's at 106% if you take all of its federal debt divided by the GDP.
That's
number 11. I mean, out of the 200 nations around the world, America is number 11. There are nations in worse shape. Japan is the worst. Then Greece, Jamaica, Lebanon, Italy, Eritrea, Portugal, and Ireland. And Dave, I don't know. That doesn't sound like a good crowd to be standing with. Well, you know, I mean, these nations are in bad shape.
I think that's a rosy picture. That's just federal debt. That doesn't include state and local debt.
That's right.
It doesn't include business debt. It doesn't include personal debt.
That's right.
You add all those debts together, I think we have consumed the universe's resources.
We've got to be getting close. So you rack up $1 trillion of debt in 6 weeks, Dave, and you continue on that pattern, and America will be in first place as the worst nation in the world, the most debted nation as a percentage of the GDP in 2 years.
If we're going to survive,
in 2 years, we will be the worst place on planet Earth in 2 years.
That'll be before
Barack Obama gets out. So, you know, he can accomplish his goal before he gets out of office.
Turning the most wealthy nation into Kenya in 2 terms. Yeah.
In 8 years.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. That would be, I think that would make the Guinness Book of World Records, don't you think? I mean, destroying a nation in eight years flat, that's pretty impressive.
That is impressive. It makes me want to drink Guinness. That accomplishment alone, when you think about it, the only way we're going to be able to survive as a nation and as an empire is if we have the biggest and the baddest military on the face of Earth. That's it. Yeah. Nobody will want to trade with us unless we force them to. It's kind of like Obamacare. Nobody will buy it unless you force them to.
Yeah. Maybe you can start a world war and, I don't know.
And win it.
And win it, yeah. And
then
I don't know.
Then we take everybody else's resources to pay for our existential
debt.
Living. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are the United States. Resistance is futile.
Not
you
sure
will
where
be
we go next. Don't know where we go next, friends.
Mars.
But at this point, you spend your great-grandkids into debt. It comes down to a worldview issue. It's an existentialistic thing, friends. I mean, people are living their life for the present day. And they don't care what happens to their kids and grandkids. They just don't care. I mean, when it comes down to it, they don't care. Why? They aborted 80 million of them. What do they care about how their siblings turn out? I mean, come on. Dave, I think it's an existentialism. Let's take this back. Let's just apply it to the average person listening to the program. I mean, Dave, the first thing I would say is let's stop living beyond our means. You know, that'd be the obvious thing to say. Let's stop living beyond our means. Get out of debt. That'd be a good idea.
How about this? Why don't you live less than your means so that you can be a good man and leave an inheritance to your grandkids? Because a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, which means that he didn't consume every bit of revenue while he was alive.
Yes, right. And how about this? How about the grandparents save an inheritance for the children's children, and then the children's children and the children take care of the grandparents in their old age? Oh, now, wait a minute. This sounds like what we spent the entire weekend working on. Remember, I had 90 people in my basement on Saturday, Dave, talking about relational family-based elderly care.
That's so crazy. It could work because imagine how much money could be saved by not having to pay grandpa and grandma's mortgage and their car insurance, everything. If they came inside the home, there would be more money available for the grandkids.
Dave.
That's crazy, man. Dave, that could work.
Dave, it sounds almost biblical. I mean, and it's probably one of the best ways to retain something of capital for the next generation, friends. I mean, if we're going to save something of capital during this incredible spendthrifty age where we're going to euthanize, I don't know, hundreds of millions of people. I don't know how many people are they're going to get euthanized. And they're spending everybody into debt and they're ruining the entire economy. In the midst of all this, hey, how about some families say, we don't do this. We don't play this game. We establish our own systems of caring for the elderly, and we refuse the whole vision of euthanasia, and we begin to save an inheritance for our children's children. And Dave, you know, this kind of thing is happening more and more. I think the wealth of the ungodly is going to move into the wealth of the godly, and the meek will inherit the earth, and I think we have a great opportunity to see this happen in the next generation. It will happen by relational mentorship, by relational discipleship, by parents loving their children, children loving their parents, and children taking care of their parents in their old age. Dave, I know it's incredibly simple, but I think this is really the solution.
Well, I'd add a few things to that, perhaps. We're going to get rid of these mandatory retirement ages, and you're going to work until the Lord takes you home.
Sure.
Whatever
that works.
Whatever God gives you, because We haven't taken dominion over the whole world yet. You know, so there's more work to be done, and there's work to be poured into these kids and these grandkids that needs to be done. So, you know, grandpa and grandma, they're gonna come in and they're gonna move in their children's home, and they're gonna help raise the grandkids, and they're gonna continue to work, and they're gonna pass on an inheritance, and we're not gonna kill grandpa and grandma just because they're old, because actually grandpa and grandma are gonna be useful and valuable and honored. Wow. I mean, just imagine the whole change as the world is falling apart. Mm-hmm. Those who follow God's laws will always be the ones that are blessed. God's laws are like gravity. You know, gravity is one of God's laws. You don't break gravity. You don't break God's law. You break yourself.
And there's a component to this, Dave, that we talked about on Saturday when he had 90 people in my basement, just talking about the establishment of the very first organization for relational elderly care, family-based elderly care. And friends, it is going to happen. We, by God's grace and by God's will, it will happen. We want to bring about a massive conference on this in the year 2015. If you're interested, by the way, email me at host@kevinswanson.com. We are excited out of our minds for this project. But Dave, as you look at this picture, what's missing here? And the obvious thing is, you know, kids, right? I mean, children, young people. And that's exactly why the church is folding. But where are the young people? Where are the kids? And I think the answer to this, Dave, is that there actually are some children, but they're not the cross-generational churches that need to exist. There are very few cross-generational churches. What happens, generally speaking, is kids grow up in a different form of culture. They get the pop culture, and they move on to fun churches where there isn't the old culture. There isn't the wisdom of the elderly who are passing a culture on from generation on to generation. So what you get in the present day is a Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, Gen L, M, N, O, P church, where you have the old fogey church, and then you get the nose ring service, where if you are sort of the 20-something cool guy who wants to hang out with the cool service, and you want to effectively sever previous generations and not really participate in the culture of previous generations, and you hang out in that culture. Dave, it's youth fetish. And here's the core issue. Here's what's lacking, and here's why this breaks down entire civilization. Now, people are probably thinking I'm overstating the case. I don't think I am. I think you get wisdom from one generation to the next when you get grandparents and grandchildren living in the same house or going to the same church and interacting with each other on a daily basis or a weekly basis. You get a wisdom that transfers from generation to generation when you have cross-generational cultural and social contexts in which children are raised. But this hardly exists anymore, especially after 4 to 5 generations of a social revolution where the culture has radically revolted from previous generations, and there was very, very little contact between generations. Dave, it's the wisdom that I think we're going to lose, with the exception of some families that are able to knit the generations together within the family or the context of the church. There will be some exceptions to this, but generally speaking, friends, I'm telling you that the next generation is losing the heritage of grandparents, the elderly, the wisdom from previous generations, and this will bring about immeasurable damage to entire civilizations.
Well, Kevin, I think you have a double problem here. You have a push and a pull. You have elderly pushing the kids out because the kids are annoying, inconvenient, and we have the pull problem. We have the youth groups and other things where the kids are being pulled into. What happens, as I understand it, is that kids, this happened in the 70s and the 80s when I was growing up, is the kids would go to the youth group, but then they would stay in the youth group. They wouldn't associate with the elderly. They wouldn't get wisdom from them. Rather than following wisdom, they wanted to follow trends. They wanted to follow entertainment. And then the church actually, that youth group became the church. And the church didn't understand what it was about. It didn't have the wisdom. It wasn't rooted and grounded in the past. It was a youth group, but they created another youth group because that's what they had. And that new youth group was a rebellion against even the previous youth culture. So the new youth group, which is even further away than from the historic church, becomes the church again. And now you have church services that look like comedy clubs and jazz bands and the worship of God and the centrality of God in worship and the wisdom of the elderly and a worship that has existed in its kind of its current form for about 2,000 years is being set aside for something new, novel, We call it will worship if you want.
We're talking about salvaging civilizations, friends. We're talking about salvaging little bits and pieces, nooks and crannies of a dying civilization. And these, I think, are helpful suggestions. I mean, this is how we do it. This is how we bring about something of a future for our children and grandchildren. And yes, it will probably happen in the emergency life raft manufacturing centers. The Titanic has already scraped the iceberg for about 300 meters. But in the meantime, I think we can do something with the remnant here and there. If anybody catches a vision on this radio program, please stay tuned. We have more ideas coming week by week on this program. So get your friends and family members, get some church members tuning into us at generationswithvision.com or generationsradio.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.